Welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions, produced by Talking Naturally, exclusively for the World Parrot Trust. This is a series of in-depth conversations with leading experts, helping you to discover better ways to live with and care for your feathered friends. Hello and welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions. Today I'm talking with Jim McKendry. Jim is a biology and environmental sciences teacher whose vocation as an educator has led him since 1999 to extending his teaching scope to include supporting parrot owners develop their understanding of parrot behaviour. He's achieved this through private consultancy, writing, workshop presentation delivery, and providing veterinary behaviour clinics. As well as his consultative work, Jim writes a regular column, Pet Parrot Pointers, for Australian Birdkeeper magazine, for whom he also serves as an editorial consultant on avian behaviour, as well as serving as an Ask an Expert on the World Parrot Trust website. Conservation of parrot species is especially important to him, and he is one of three Australian representatives for the World Parrot Trust. In addition to conservation, captive welfare awareness is also important to Jim, particularly through the work of the Parrot Rescue Centre in Queensland. To complement over 15 years as an avicultureist and tertiary study in the fields of education and wildlife biology, Jim has also worked professionally as a trainer of free-flighted birds whilst a presentations keeper at Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary. Jim has travelled throughout Australia, Asia and Central America to observe parrot behaviour in the wild, and this knowledge underpins his approach to teaching parrot enthusiasts about the relationships between what we observe in captivity with the functional behaviour of parrots in their native environments. Jim joins us today to shed some light on what a joyful experience it can be to allow parrots to retain the freedom of flight while sharing our homes, how important it can be to their overall health and well-being, and the vital importance of providing a safe environment for our birds. Jim McKendry, Jim, welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions.
Thanks so much for having me, Charlie. This is an outstanding opportunity and one that I hope that WPT members and supporters will gain a great deal of value from.
Oh, I'm sure we will. Jim, this is such an important subject. Let's make clear from the outset exactly what we mean by a parrot being flighted.
That's a critical starting point for our discussion, Charlie. Essentially, when we use the term flighted in reference to keeping companion parrots, what we're really referring to is ensuring that those birds aren't wing trimmed or wing clipped, mm-hmm. and that they're given the opportunity for flight within their captive environment. Right. And I'd really like to just also elaborate on that in regards to a term that's also commonly used in the companion parrot world, such as free-flighted.
Okay, yeah.
With free-flighted parrots, those parrots are given liberties beyond the safe confines of an indoor environment or a purpose-built outdoor enclosure. The practice of keeping a flighted companion parrot, which is what I advocate, essentially means that we're not wing-trimming these birds, and that they are allowed the provision for flight within the safe environments inside a home or within a purpose-built outdoor enclosure.
And I know, Jim, that in your work, as you just mentioned there, you put a very strong emphasis indeed on providing a safe environment for a flighted parrot.
Absolutely. When we consider all elements of the behaviour of our companion parrots, we need to consider them first and foremost within the environmental context that they are observed. And when it comes to flight, safety of that animal within our homes is obviously the most important thought in our mind. And what that requires is careful arrangement of that environment to reduce or eliminate any variables that could potentially be hazards and that might impinge somewhat on the safety of having that bird as a flighted mobile creature within our home. And the same applies for an outdoor enclosure, ensuring that that enclosure has been designed appropriately, that it protects the parrot, our parrot within the enclosure from anything from the outside that may potentially get in, and that we're setting up these birds to succeed with an environment that caters for this capacity for flight, but does so safely.
Absolutely. Jim, let's look now at the health benefits for a parrot of being flighted, because you're a strong advocate of its importance to a parrot, aren't you?
I think it starts with an acceptance that, and it's a phrase that I actually borrow from a very important mentor of mine, Dr. Susan Friedman, who many WellPower Trust supporters will be familiar with her work. And she uses a phrase called built to behave. And those are extremely powerful words when you consider them in the context of the parrots that we keep. When we look at that animal, when we look at its anatomy, and we realize that that animal is built to behave in a suite of functionally important ways, paramount to that must be the capacity for flight. So essentially, by enabling flight, we're enabling parrots to do what it is they are built to do. And being built to behave in that particular way, with flight as an important component of its daily repertoire of behaviors and functions, sets us up as owners and sets the parrot up to succeed much more effectively long-term in terms of not just the behavioural well-being, but obviously also the psychological well-being of the animal.
Can we expand on that, Jim? How specifically does being able to fly, particularly at an early stage of its life, set that parrot up to succeed?
The first thing that we need to consider here is, what does flight actually enable a parrot to do? And particularly critical is during the developmental stages whilst they're young, the kindergarten phase of a parrot's life, where it's exploring, it's finding out about its environment, it's interacting and it's engaging in its environment in a range of really functionally important ways. Flight facilitates the degree to which that parrot can engage functionally with its environment. It contributes to its coordination, its confidence, and that early environmental exploration and that early flight development, we find that as that parrot matures and as it develops, we see that correlates quite strongly with an increase in confidence, an increase in engagement with both novel and natural objects that might be placed in its environment. So by providing flight, particularly importantly from an early age and maintained throughout the life of the bird, essentially enhances its capacity to fully engage with its environment rather than actually disengage with its environment, which we know is counterproductive to the behavioural health of the animal.
Jim, that brings up an important point, actually, as I'm sure that there'll be caregivers listening to this who have parrots that have never flown. So can I ask, is it ever too late for a parrot to learn to fly?
The short answer is no, it's never too late. However, the process of a parrot that has been kept for a considerable period of time, flightless and had its wings trimmed, is going to be a process that could be potentially quite slow. It's one that should be engaged with the support of people who are experienced in rehabilitating parrots, getting them to resume their flight capabilities and flight skills. It's not something that is going to be just a situation where that parrot will resume its confidence and its capacity to fly just through allowing its feathers to come back, particularly if it's been flightless for a significant period of time.
You've worked with a great many parrots, Jim. Have you noticed a difference in ability or skill level between a bird that learns to fly when it's young and one that learns in later life?
To give you a contextual example, I worked with 6 Gangang cockatoos over a period of 8 years. Only one of those birds was fully fledged and flighted. The difference in those birds when they were rehabilitated back to having full flight capacity was quite startling. And only the bird that actually fledged fully flighted seemed to have that high degree of confidence and skill in flight itself. One of the, I guess, the major issues is that due to being wing clipped, quite often these parrots have a suite of experiences that are based on punishing consequences for attempting to fly.
Right.
In other words, attempting to fly from a perch or a stand, I'm landing, I'm hitting my keel bone, or I'm hitting wings, whatever it might be. There could be some physical impairment, physical damage to the actual bird just through making those attempts to fly. And when it does so repeatedly, it learns pretty quickly that even making an attempt to fly is not a very comfortable experience.
Sure.
So that it's something to be avoided. Overcoming that psychological hurdle for that bird is something that needs to be done very carefully and in a considered fashion. And it's best done with the support of people who actually understand a process of rehabilitating these birds, getting them back to being flighted in a manner that caters for that individual bird's learning continuum and their learning needs. There are quite a few poor methodologies, unfortunately, that are espoused that people can access online. Things like people maybe refer to them as flight exercises for wing-clipped birds and the like. Those are some of those are extremely poor practices that would be counterproductive to the relationship building that needs to go hand in hand with getting a bird to resume its flight capabilities.
Jim, I suspect I shouldn't use this term to describe a bird, but are parrots that gain flight after perhaps never being able to fly happier as a result?
When we define a term like happy, I mean, essentially happy is a human construct.
Yes, of course, yeah.
It's a state of mind. So what we do is we look at what's observable and measurable in the behaviours of our birds to determine, if you like, what their state of happiness is. And what I do is I look at the degree to which they engage with their environment in functional ways.
Right.
And I can tell you that every bird that we've rehabilitated here over many years, birds that we've seen return to having full flight facilitation, each one of those birds was significantly more engaged with its environment. We see an increase in the degree to which we might observe exploratory behavior, an increase in confidence in movement, a reduction in dependency on the human carer, which often correlates with a reduction in problematic issues such as excessive calling and excessive vocalization.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a suite of benefits that we start to see. But essentially what determines for us, what's our barometer, our measure of happiness in these birds that have been provided with the capacity for flight, is that we see that increase in functional behavior and we see a decrease in dysfunctional behaviors. And that, for me, is the marker of success.
Jim, there's been a growing acceptance that for both physical and health reasons, allowing our parrots flight is clearly best for them, yet wing clipping does still go on. I mean, why do you think that is?
Like much of our approach to keeping parrots as companion animals, the practice of wing clipping is essentially something that we've inherited from our cultural approaches to keeping parrots as pets. If we consider back to the early days of keeping companion animals such as parrots, where did those birds come from? How did they arrive to us? Many of them were actually wild caught birds. And as we progress beyond that, in that timeline of the history of companion parrot keeping, it would have been parent reared birds. The practice of wing clipping was largely due to a lack of education, awareness, and understanding of what the alternative methodologies could be to the more punishment and negative reinforcement-based approaches and methodologies that would have been applied. Today, we're empowered with a much wider suite of understanding of behavior, of understanding about how behavior functions as a consequence of what's occurring in the environment around our animals. So with our parrots, that shift away from keeping them as wing-clipped birds to fully flighted birds is much better supported today by a much more in-depth level of understanding about behavior and a much more progressive approach to training methodologies that are actually built on a foundation of trust and relationship building with the keeper.
Right.
Unfortunately, why wing-clipping still persists is because it's still essentially a culturally accepted practice within the mainstream. If we're to consider some of the organizations and bodies that we refer to and use as a guide for determining what is a best practice approach to the care of parrots, we can still see that rationales for wing clipping persist, such as for the prevention of escape or injury, and also for taming and training. And if we reflect on prevention of escape and injury, what we really need to consider first and foremost is that that is essentially an environmental management issue, not a physical modification situation of the animal itself. So whilst it might be considered as the personal choice of the owner in some respects to wing clip a parrot, we need to actually move away from that paradigm of thinking. It shouldn't be considered the personal choice of the owner. It should actually be considered, what can we do with the environment of this animal to best set it up to succeed? we should be asking, what do I need to do to create an environment and a relationship with this animal whereby I can allow it to actually have that full flight capacity? So it's actually our behavior that we need to modify. It's our training methodologies that we need to modify. It's our diet routines and our feeding regimes that we need to modify. It's the enclosure environment and the outside enclosure environment that we need to modify. All of that is actually the challenge for us to modify, not modification of the animal itself.
Sure. And there's some very simple things we can do to make the environment around the bird safer. I mean, from simply closing windows and keeping cats and dogs away from inexperienced birds.
Absolutely. And that's first and foremost, your obligation is to ensure the safety and the well-being of that animal in your home.
Sure.
What we're really good at is we're really good at making excuses for our failures to adequately provide the safest and best practice approach to maintaining a parrot that's fully flighted. What we need to be doing is challenging us to say, hey, what is it that I can observe and identify in this environment that is a potential hazard or potentially harmful? What can I do about the environment so that I'm actually removing those potential hazards and those variables that might actually reduce our success with having a flighted parrot in our home? Mm-hmm. That's our challenge, to actually overcome that first. Then we can hopefully set that parrot up to succeed.
Sure. And Jim, I suppose despite all best efforts, accidents may happen, a bird may escape. Is it true to say that a fully winged parrot that escapes has a better chance of survival and recovery than one that isn't fully winged?
Absolutely. However, I will qualify that by suggesting that we need to consider that a parrot that has full flight capability in the home is going to be just as at risk, but hasn't been properly and adequately trained.
Right.
If it doesn't have a good recall response to a behavioral cue that's been established in the environment, if it doesn't have a good history of positive relationships with humans. So what we need to ensure is we need to ensure that we're maintaining those practices with our birds that can fly. But one of the benefits is that a fully flighted parrot that may, in the event of an escape, get out there into the wild, at least it's going to have that understanding of how to fly, potentially how to evade things that are possible hazards, how to perch and how to land. So they are much better set up to succeed in the event of a fly-off than a parrot that has no training, that has just unfortunately been in that position where it's regained flight capacity, but without the set of skills that surround that, that enable it to perhaps survive.
Sure.
With a lot greater chance once Sure. It's out there in the wild.
Right, that makes such a lot of good sense, Jim. It's not just about the flight itself, it's also the training that goes with that flight is so important. Can I ask you now, are there any situations at all when you would say that actually it's best to clip a bird's wings?
When it comes to considering wing clipping or some modification of the capacity for flight, perhaps the only valid situation that I personally would be willing to accept is when we've got situations with aviary birds where we're dealing with the breeding and keeping of rare species. Mm-hmm. And we may find that particularly with parrots, we have difficulties with male aggression towards females, which can sometimes end in fatal injuries being inflicted from one towards the other. And in some of those circumstances, it may be necessary for the safety and well-being of the other parrot in that environment to have the flight slightly reduced by just modifying the outer primaries of a particularly aggressive male during the early stages of breeding season. And this may be particularly relevant for conservation breeding of endangered species that is being done ex situ.
Right.
However, in our homes, it needs to be, I think, a considered and honest reflection and evaluation of, is this environment right for this bird if we cannot cope with and don't have the capacity to support this animal being a flighted animal?
This is wonderfully thought-provoking, Jim. Thank you so much. But let's bring the session to a close with a final thought. I think you'd be the first to understand that allowing your parrot's wing feathers to grow out for the first time could be a little unnerving for a caregiver. Hopefully we've given listeners plenty of good advice over the last 20 minutes, but if you had just one more piece of advice to give, what would it be?
it would absolutely be that don't let your mind stop with just allowing flight. We have to have that foremost mindset that it is now our responsibility to create an environment that facilitates that flight safely. We also have to have a commitment and dedication to ongoing conditioning of the flighted bird. So in other words, we've got to maintain really good 21st century approaches to positive reinforcement training and relationship and trust building with that animal throughout its life. That has to be sustainable. And we need to set up daily interaction schedules and routines with our birds such that we're doing things like maintaining flight recall behavior, which is the bird flying to your hand on cue, as a daily interactive behavior that you have with your parrot that's positively reinforced, not on a variable scale, but on an absolute one-to-one scale. Every single time he flies to the hand, he gets paid for that. So it's not just as simple as I'm going to allow my bird to fly. We have to make sure that we're satisfying those essential environmental needs as well as the training needs.
And the long-term rewards for doing that for both the parrot and the caregiver are huge.
Absolutely, because what we see happens is that because you're challenged to actually reevaluate and reflect on your relationship with your bird, because this bird now has decision-making powers that can say, hey, I actually don't want to stand on your hand. I can actually move away from it if I don't want to be there. Whereas previously, if it had its wings clipped, its opportunity to do that was extremely restricted and limited. But now it can. So the challenge is back to us to say, hey, what sort of relationship do I want to have with you such that you're motivated to move towards me rather than away from me? And what that actually brings is a whole new dimension to the relationship that we have with the animal in a very, very positive way.
Jim McKendry, thank you very much indeed for taking time out of your busy day to chat with us here on the Parrot Care Sessions.
Thank you very much, Charlie. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope the listeners have enjoyed the conversation.
For more information about Jim McKendry or to book a consultation, you can reach him via his consulting website at www.pbec.com.au. And finally, for more information about parrots in general and for more of these podcasts, please go along to the World Parrot Trust website, which you'll find at www.parrots.org. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about me, Charlie Moores, then please go to my website, Talking Naturally, which you can find at www.talking-naturally.co.uk.